This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Mind that this has to make sense, otherwise my iman is not really that strong to accept this. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear the question of Aisha radiallahu anha. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to do this. How are you going to react to it? How will you protect yourself from it? The other thing that the question of Aisha radiallahu anha reflects is the place of chastity and haya in their hearts and in their lives. Right? That's another reason why I don't believe that we will ask this question. Because in the modern world today, right, through everything that we see, maybe not physically close to us, but everything that we see, we've gotten used to what? Our nudity. We've gotten used to it, desensitized. That is, it's not so unnatural anymore that if you're walking down the street and you find someone almost naked, right? Does not surprise you, right? So if you feel that, oh, people will be naked on the Day of Judgment, so this us today that have been altered by all of that, that doesn't elicit a response. Yeah, because you've seen it, or people even, in some places they even walk like that. So there is no haya. Like, we have lost a lot of our haya and a lot of our chastity. But for someone like Aisha radiallahu anha, that she had this daily concern of that when I leave my house, no one is supposed to see anything of me. That's why it becomes so shocking that I, who every day will do my best to cover my body, there's going to come a day when people can see me naked. That is the unbelievable thing, right? That needs kind of to be understood. Not why Allah does it. No, that this is going to happen, right? And you're not going to get it unless you're in that line of thinking. I mean, if you were to hear stories about, not maybe people from the past generations, but maybe their generation before it, as they were introducing, in some countries, as they were introducing ID cards, and nobody had them, they were introducing ID cards. So some of the women, when they were told, you gotta take your picture for you to have an ID card, she would say, so that everybody could see my face, I would never do it. You know how outrageous this sounds today? That a woman would be concerned that, I mean, non-mahārim would see her face. But she said, I don't even want that entire ID card. I don't want it. Because all her life she was living, separating herself from the other sex, concealing her body. Now all of a sudden you want me to show this and to everybody? No, unbelievable. I'm not going to do it. So Aisha radiallahu anha was of that state, the state of iffah, the state of haya, the state of chastity, meaning impossible. So I want us just to see the distance that we've traveled and the distance that we need to cross to go back to what they were. Where is that haya and where is that iffah and where is that eagerness to separate, to hide your body? Says this is, again, I want to always, inshallah, tie it back to the heart, because the heart doesn't see this munkar as munkar, not as much. It does not detest it anymore. But this is usual, right? Whereas it wasn't at all like that today. And at their time, it's to conceal. Today it is to flaunt, right? Flaunt it. Like, if you are attractive, if you have a good body, you're supposed to hide it? Nope. Show it to everybody and be proud of it. You see the distance? So it's really hard to imagine Aisha's question. That's why I say, I don't believe that we today will ask this question. But if you're someone who would ask it, barakallahu fiqh, and hold on to this. Because we need to revive that haya and the separation between the sexes and being flustered and red-faced when you talk to someone from the opposite sex. Right? That is beautiful. Right? And think about it, yes? Okay, removing, yes. And that is also, you know, it takes me to this, the thing that the Prophet ﷺ said, that What is happening then is far too serious for them to care about who's naked and to look at people's bodies. And again, this tells you a lot about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Because for us today, as human beings, but also especially today, the pursuit of the flesh is a main concern, right? It's a main concern. For people, that is their obsession. I'm just looking for the flesh, lusting after the flesh, from one to the other, from one to the other. If you look and consider advertising, entertainment is built on stripping people of their clothes. And because it sells and captures attentions, right? That's why you'd be looking at something, right? And you're not going to give it a second look unless they put someone nude or semi-nude in it. Then you'll stop. And they know your weakness and my weakness, and that's why they use it. So subhanAllah, this deception in marketing goes hand in hand with nudity. So just imagine, if this is something that is a main feature of entertainment today, you can't escape it, a main feature of advertisement, you can't escape it, and a main feature of modern culture. So don't think modern culture is innocent. No? Don't think modern culture is innocent. When it's introduced to a new place, it has its demands. It makes those demands. And to modernize means to strip. So imagine if this is the thing that is the obsession right now. Imagine how hard the Day of Judgment is going to be, that you can have a naked person standing right next to you and you don't even care about it. Right? You wouldn't give a second look. Imagine, right? That this is the main attraction. How could you not look? But it is so severe because your whole existence is in jeopardy. You don't know what's going to happen. You could be punished. You could be destroyed. You could be this. Think about it, you know, in terms of, let's suppose that you're sitting at home and you have your money, stacks of money. And all of a sudden, yani, may Allah forbid, the earth starts shaking and there's an earthquake. What do? Let me collect all the money first and then run away. What do? You can't even think about anything else except run. Just run. Tayyib, this is your money and this is your gold and that's your silver and your laptop and your TV and this and all the things that you love in life. Why did you run? Because the dearest thing that you have is soul. That's the thing that you worry about. So you are going to sacrifice everything to keep yourself safe. And if you're safe, then everything else is replaceable. So that's why when he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, the matter is far too serious and severe for them to worry about this, it tells you how hard the Day of Judgment is. You can just imagine only based on the description, but you can just try to picture what people will be seeing with their eyes, what they'll be experiencing physically, the amount of terror that they have in their hearts, that these things don't matter to them anymore. So that's the benefit that we get from this hadith, and there's probably more. But let's again try, inshallah, in our hearts, to begin with our hearts, and then to move for that to become a reality in our bodies, the haya. That don't expose your body thinking that that exposure makes you attractive. Yeah, people will look. But at that time, when you're thinking that you're becoming likable in the eyes of people, you're losing with Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether you're male or female, by the way, it goes both ways, but it's more with females. So don't expose your body thinking that you will gain favor with people. Allah Azza wa Jal sees it and He hates it. So haya of a Muslim woman who she has on her hijab, without makeup, hijab covering all of her head, covering her neck, covering her chest. It's not tight. It's not revealing. It's overflowing. That's the hijab. Okay? There's no such thing as modern hijab. Right? Allahu A'lam. The following hadith, it says here that Abdullah, he says, "Kunna ma'a an-nabiyyi fi qubbah." He says, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under kind of like a dome, which is like a small house. Faqal, he said, "Atardawna an takunu rub'a ahli al-jannah?" Says, would you be happy if you will be one quarter of the people of Jannah? They said, or we said, "Na'am." Yes. He said, would you be happy if you are one third of the people of Jannah? They said, yes. He said, would you be happy that you would be half of the people of Jannah? We said, yes. Then the Messenger says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ I swear by the one who has the soul of Muhammad in his hand. I hope that you will be half of the people of Jannah. That is because Jannah will only have in it a Muslim soul. A Muslim soul. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ فِي أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَّا كَالشَّعْرَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ فِي جِلْدِ الثَّوْرِ الْأَسْوَدِ أَوْ كَالشَّعْرَةِ السَّوْدَاءِ فِي جِلْدِ الثَّوْرِ الْأَحْمَرِ He says, and you, your numbers compared to the numbers of the non-believers, the polytheist, is like the white hair on the skin of a black ox or a black hair on the skin of a red ox. Now, this hadith will explain it, inshallah, when we read the next one, because the next one says almost the same thing, but it adds a couple of things. Well, not exactly the... Let me see if it's coming or should we explain it. Okay, it is coming. It is coming. But let's explain it anyway, inshallah. So here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's asking the Sahaba, أَتَرْضَوْنَ Would you be happy that you would be one quarter of the people of Jannah? He said, yes. Okay? Now, why would that make them happy? Because, yeah, it's a promise of Jannah, meaning that more of you will be in Jannah. If only you, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going to make 25% of the people of Jannah, then that is a good percentage. And it means that a lot of you will be in Jannah. So he gave them that. They said, yes, that will make us happy. He said, how about one third? He says, yes, that will make us happy. He said, how about one half? He says, yes, that was going to make us happy. So now the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I'm hoping that you will be half of the people of Jannah. And that is a great news for the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ that they can constitute half of the people of Jannah. And then he said, ﷺ, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ Only a Muslim soul will enter Jannah. By the way, that includes the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ and the previous nations. Right? So Muslima here means what? أَسْلَمَتْ لِلَّهِ So every prophet is a Muslim and all the followers of the prophet بِإِحْسَانٍ are Muslimun. So that's why the Ummah or any Ummah that follows its prophet are Muslims. So they will enter Jannah because of it. Then the Prophet ﷺ here holds that comparison and he says, your numbers to the numbers of the non-believers will be like a white hair on the skin of a black ox. And that means that you are very few. Very, very, the percentage compared to. And we'll see the percentage is going to come, inshallah, the following hadith. But it's a very small percentage. Imagine a black ox, fully black ox. Where would you find that white hair on him? Hardly one, right? That's it. So he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that many more people will enter hellfire compared to Jannah. And we will see the percentage, inshallah. So the following hadith, still the same chapter, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, أول من يدعى يوم القيامة آدم. The first person to be called on the Day of Judgment is Adam. So the first person who will be clothed is Ibrahim. The first person to be called, as the Prophet ﷺ speaks, he says, Adam. قَالَ فَتَرَاءَ ذُرِّيَّتُهُ So his progeny, all of his children will see him, and he will see them. فَتَرَاءَ They see each other. So Adam will be called, and Adam now is standing in a way where he could see all of them, and they could see him. فَيُقَالُ هَذَا أَبُوكُمْ آدَمْ It will be said to all humanity, this is your father Adam. فَيَقُولُ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ Here I am, Ya Allah, responding to you. Because Allah called him, here I am, Ya Allah. فَيَقُولُ أَخْرِجْ بَعْثَ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَتِكَ It says, separate the portion of hellfire from your progeny. Separate them. Okay? And it doesn't tell us how that separation takes place. It just tells him to separate. فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ كَمْ أُخْرِجُ He says, Oh Allah, how many people should I move out to be the portion of people of hellfire? فيقول أخرج من كل 199. It says, get out from each 100, 99. Where is the 99 going? Hellfire. So from each 100, get out the portion of hellfire, and that is 99. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ He says, Sahaba, upon hearing this, you can imagine, he says, O Messenger of Allah, إِذَا أُخِذَ مِنَّا مِنْ كُلِّ مِئَةٍ 99, فَمَاذَا يَبْقَى مِنَّا He says, if from each 100 of us, 99 will be taken to hellfire, what is left of us? What is left? يعني, 1% will be saved from all of us, and 99% will go to Jahannam. فَمَاذَا يَبْقَى مِنَّا فَقَالَ إِنَّ أُمَّتِي فِي الْأُمَمِ كالشعرة البيضاء في الثور الأسود. He says, my ummah, compared to other umam, other nations, is like the white hair on the skin of a white or a black ox. So he's saying that what? He's saying, from you, okay, the 1%. And from the non-believers, that's going to be the 99%. Right? There's another hadith also, okay, that's going to present a different percentage. Similar, but a different percentage. So that hadith belongs to the second chapter. This chapter, the title of it is Babun Qawlihu Ta'ala Inna Zalzalata Sa'ati Shay'un Azim. The title of the chapter is Allah saying in the Quran, indeed, the shaking of the Day of Judgment is something tremendous. That is, on the Day of Judgment, when it comes and the earth shakes and everything falls apart, just that tremendous quake, Allah Azza wa Jalla says it's something that will be felt and will be terrifying everyone. And a couple of other kind of ayahs where Allah Azza wa Jalla also says that belongs to the title of the chapter, Azifatil Azifa. And he says, Iqtarabati Sa'a. Iqtarabati Sa'a means the Day of Judgment is coming close. The Day of Judgment is near. أزفت الآزفة. الآزفة is the near one. One of the days of the names of the Day of Judgment is الآزفة, the one that is close by, the one that will soon happen. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أزفت الآزفة, the one that is going to soon happen is going to quickly happen, meaning it's very close. Meaning that it's very close. And something that occurred to me, I mean, as I'm reading these things, is that if Allah says these things, you have to believe it. And not treat the Day of Judgment as going to happen aeons from now. If Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the Day of Judgment is near, you should believe what? That the Day of Judgment is near. Right? Don't say, it could take decades or centuries for that to happen. It's not near. Allah says it's near. Because first of all, everything that is going to happen is near. Second of all, you don't really know when the Day of Judgment is going to happen. And yes, there are major signs, but you don't really know when the Day of Judgment is going to happen. If the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the Day of Judgment is near, and Allah is saying that the Day of Judgment is near, then it is near. So you treat it as if it's close by. And you treat them and change your life accordingly. Because if you believe that this life is going to end soon, you'll behave differently. If you believe that the Day of Judgment is around the corner, you will behave differently. But if you assure yourself that it's going to be, centuries from now, I'm not going to even see it, you'll dismiss what Allah is saying. But you have to believe that it's near. It's close by. Even if what? That your Day of Judgment is your death. Right? Because once you die, Day of Judgment has begun for all of us. Once we die, khalas, it started. So even if we take and consider that, yes, the Day of Judgment is near. Because the only thing that stands between you is a minute of death. And that's it. The Day of Judgment has started. Because it'll be questioned, and you have to give answers. And in the grave, and then you'll experience in the grave the beginnings of the blessings of Jannah or the punishment of hellfire. So it is near. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So this following hadith is where I told you that Allah Azza wa Jal will give Adam a different percentage. So the hadith says that Allah will call Adam, Adam will respond. Allah will tell Adam, أخرج بعث النار, get out the portion of hellfire. And it says, what is بعث النار? What is this portion of hellfire? قال, and that's a different percentage. قال من كل ألف, from every thousand, 999. From every thousand, now it was before what? 100. Okay, so there were more people in Jannah, right? He says, hey, from every thousand, 999. قال فذاك, the Prophet ﷺ continues, فذاك حين يشيب الصغير. This is when the young will have gray hair. وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها. And every pregnant woman will deliver its child, will drop its child. وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى. And you will see people as if they are drunk, but they are not drunk. ولكن عذاب الله شديد, but the punishment of Allah is severe. Okay, and we'll come back to it. فاشتد عليهم ذلك. That was incredible to bear for the Sahaba. From each thousand, all those go to hellfire, only one survives. They said, O Messenger of Allah, which one among us is going to be this man, like this very fortunate man who will go to Jannah and everybody else is going to hellfire? فَقَالَ أَبْشِرُوا. He says, receive the good news, or hear the good news, that from يَأْجُوجَ and مَأْجُوجَ أَلْفْ وَمِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ. From يَأْجُوجَ and مَأْجُوجَ there will be 1,000 or 999, and from you, one man. ثُمَّ قَالَ. He said, by the one who has my soul in his hand, I hope that you will be one third of the people of Jannah. قَالَ فَحَمِدْنَا اللَّهَ وَكَبَّرْنَا. We thanked Allah and we glorified him, saying, Alhamdulillah, wallahu akbar. Says, and he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one who has my soul in his hand, I hope that you will be half of the people of Jannah. And then he said, your example, like compared to the other nation, is like the white hair on the skin of the black ox. So, going back here to this hadith, when Adam is tasked to get out of the portion of hellfire, and in this it says 999. And when the Sahaba ask, he says, from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now, the scholars have different ways of reconciling these two hadiths, right? These two hadiths. Because they say the different percentages here. So how do you reconcile? So some scholars have said that the first hadith is about people, humanity, without Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj are humans, right? Are humans. But they're saying the first percentage, right? Where we're talking about, what was that? 1 out of 100. He says that's among humanity. But when you come and you include Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the percentage of the disbelievers increases so much that 999 will end up in hellfire and only one will be in Jannah. So that's one answer that they've given to how to reconcile these ahadith. Another way, and that is, I think, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, the way that he reconciled it. Another way that they reconciled it is to say that it doesn't really matter what that percentage is. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to tell you of how scarce or how few the people are who will enter Jannah compared to people who will enter hellfire. So whether it is 1 out of 1,000 or 1 out of 100, he is telling you that the percentage is very small. So that's also another possibility. It doesn't matter if you dwell so much on the number. The Prophet ﷺ is telling you that what? It's very few. And there's benefit, inshallah, to that we want to address. But before I move to that, I want to talk a little bit about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj, I said, are human. Right? Gog and Magog, they call them, right? In the Bible, Gog and Magog. And those are the ones in Surah Al-Kahf. When Dhul Qarnayn comes and they are corruptors on earth and he builds a dam and Allah Azza wa Jalla traps them behind it. And they're continuously, as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, continuously every single day they try to dig through it. And Allah foils their plot and restores the dam. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, he says, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ قَدْ فُتِحَ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجَ وَأَجُوجَ مِقْدَارُ هَذَا. He said, you know, woe to the Arabs from an evil that is far fast approaching. Indeed, from the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, something like this has just opened. Okay? A circle close as this has opened. Meaning it opened and did not close. It means that they're about to what? Come out. So, one thing that I want to say about, you know, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and again it goes back to our belief in the unseen and our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are plenty. They were so numerous that Allah will reveal to Isa alayhi salam, no one can fight them. Right? No one can fight them. That there's so many of them, right? That he also said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there is a buhayra, there is a lake in Philistine, Palestine, called Tabariya. And he says, the first of them, as they, when they kind of come out and they start marching and overtaking lands and killing people and all of this. So he says, the first of them will march by and pass by this lake and will take what? A handful of water just to drink. He says, by the time that the last of them would pass by, they would say, there was once water in this lake. It's a big lake. Okay? I don't have the numbers to describe how big it is, but it is a big lake. So how many are Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Allahu A'lam? Are we talking about hundreds of thousands? Are we talking about millions? Allahu A'lam. We don't know. Tayyib, the question here that comes is, where are they? Banu Adam. Banu Adam, right? There are some, you know, folk tales that say, I mean, they are the intermarriage of jinn and humans. No. None of that. Because in the Quran, if that was the case, they would say, look at those monsters, right? You know, no. It says, Ya'juj and Ma'juj mufsiduna fil ard. They're corruptors, right? Just people. So they are from the children of Adam. But now the question is, right, if we're talking about even just hundreds of thousands, and maybe we're talking about millions, I mean, Allahu A'lam, I do not know. Where are they? Huh? Afghanistan? I mean, do we know?
No, we don't.
We don't. Naam. We know that it's blocked. So if somebody will tell you, Tayyib, we know every inch of the earth today. There are satellites, you can, you know, take a picture of every inch of the earth today. How could there be a community that you're telling me there are hundreds of thousands of people, right? And they exist some way concealed. How is that possible? This doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Okay, so we ask you then, if Allah wanted to conceal them until such a time that they would appear, couldn't Allah do this? Couldn't Allah Azza wa Jalla blind your eyes so you wouldn't see them, blind your technology so it couldn't see them, until such a time where they would actually be allowed to exit? Do you have to see everything with your own eyes and touch it with your hands to believe? Or do you believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And in fact, it's there in the Quran. It's actually there in the Quran, right? That the coming of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they will be released. Add to it the details of the Sunnah. Isn't it enough for that to believe that it's true? I mean, we know a lot, but we don't know everything. And once Allah Azza wa Jalla allows them to come out, you'll see where they come out from. And then it's going to make absolute sense that they came out from that spot, right? But do you have to actually scientifically be able to examine everything to believe it, and only then would you believe it? No. And something, you know, occurred to me, inshallah, which is in science fiction. Now, you know, it's fiction, so I'm not going to say that this is fiction. But the scientifically minded, right, will say, no, that can't be true. Tayyib, if you read science fiction or if you watch science fiction, and if somebody deduces the idea of alternate realities to you, I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just going to argue based on what people are willing to believe. Somebody argues or tells you about alternate realities, alternate universes, portals that open between universes and you're able to travel between great distances. Does that make a little bit of sense to you? And a person, even if they're scientific, but they're also are aware of science fiction, they'll say, yeah. Why is it? Because I've read it in a science fiction story, and I've seen it in a science fiction movie. That kind of like makes sense, that there will be a portal and it opens from another. So you're willing to believe that? Yeah, I feel a little bit more comfortable maybe with that. So why won't you believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is telling you that they will appear in ways that you don't understand? I'm not telling you alternate realities, alternate universe, portals and this and that. I'm not. But I'm telling you, if you're willing to entertain it, even in the stories that you read, to entertain that possibility, then why not believe when Allah says something? Believe When the Prophet ﷺ said, even when you don't understand it, right? So here, so that's what I wanted to say about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now the other thing here, about the last part of the hadith, and when he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hope that you will be one quarter, one third, and one half of the people of Jannah. This is great news for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But upon hearing this, it shouldn't give you a guarantee, because this is not a personal guarantee. Sahih? It's good news for the ummah. But we also understand that there will be members of this ummah who will end up in hellfire. So it's great news of the ummah of Muhammad, and a great virtue for the ummah of Muhammad, and it tells you that they are virtuous, and that there are plenty, and they are, overall, they follow the uncorrupted book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the pure sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's how they can survive, and that's how they escape hellfire, by being true to their message. But also it does not mean that, okay, that's, I heard good news today, that's it, I don't have to do a lot because I'm guaranteed. There is no guarantee. The guarantee is for those who follow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the scary part here, regardless of the percentages that we talked about, 1% or much less than that, 1 out of 1,000, is that see how little or how few people manage to enter heaven compared to those who throw themselves in hellfire. That disbelief, right? The disbelief, the polytheism, the rebellion against Allah Azza wa Jal is so dominant in the world, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future, that there are so many people who will fail this test, and so many people who will run towards hellfire and run away from Jannah in ways that are incredible. And it's something that I wanted to say compared when I was talking about Aisha radiallahu anha and chastity and all of this. You know how much people will fight for vice today? For evil. They will fight for it. They will fight you to have the right to practice whatever evil they want to do. And they consider that kind of like an unalienable freedom that they should have and everybody else should have. And label you with all the backward, you know, labels because you disagree with that. And once you walk that path of indecency, there is no stopping it. Like if you believe that stripping, right, and walking semi-naked is a virtue, what logic is there to stop you from continuing on that path until you're absolutely naked? Is there any logic? Because the only thing that holds you back are one of two things, I think. Either religion or culture. Culture disapproves of this. But if you ignore religion and you marginalize it and you try to change culture gradually, what is there to stop you from actually becoming, you know, worse than an animal? Nothing. Nothing, right? And that's why, I mean, this, the path that humanity is on, okay? The Prophet ﷺ says that when all the believers die, that's close to the Day of Judgment, all the believers die, and then the shaitan will appear to humanity, who has ever left, who are what? Kuffar. And he says, will you obey me? And they said, yes. And they will do every sin until to the extent that they will be fornicating in public industry. Right? That's the extent of that evil. So you see that there's nothing to stop us. The only break that you have from this insanity, from society destroying itself, is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if you don't, just witness any society, you just need to live long enough to see it, right? Because sometimes this takes a decade, 2 decades, but long enough for you to see that that type of insanity and that type of indecency is going to destroy a society. And you will have to come back to religion and say, the religious were right, because we can't live like this. That's not sustainable, right? So the fact here that the Prophet ﷺ, he says, you're like a white hair on a black ox's body, tells you don't feel estranged, because you are supposed to be a stranger. Right? You know, you're supposed to be odd. This person is odd in this world, right? Because he's talking strange, talking about belief and talking about God. Usually nobody talks about God, and talking about God and then God wants and God doesn't want, and I have to structure my life according to this, and this is haram and this is wrong, and why? Because Allah said so. You will look odd and strange, and you put on the right hijab. Okay? Because not just anything that passes or is called a hijab or passes as a hijab, the right hijab. When you put on the wrong hijab, at the right hijab, you will look odd. Well, sister, why are you so strict? We don't have to be this strict. You can modernize, you can loosen up a little bit, you will look odd. But relish the fact that you're being odd. But odd according to what? Not odd personally odd, like the more odd that I look, the better. No, I'm just saying that if Allah commands it and the Prophet ﷺ commands it, and that makes you stand out and makes you be odd, then welcome it. Because you're supposed to be like that white hair on that black ox. You're supposed to be like that. So don't run away from it by trying to gain everybody's approval. It's not going to happen, because they want you to be as white or as black as the rest of the body is. Because you stand out. How will you be accepted on that body? Can you stand out? So you got to dye yourself the same color. And you're not supposed to do that. Sibratullahi wa man ahsana minallahi sibra. Naam. Maybe we'll take, inshallah, one hadith, maybe. Yeah, maybe one hadith, inshallah. So that's the following chapter, chapter number 46. And the title is an ayah, the title of the chapter, where Allah says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Do they not think that they will be brought back and resurrected? لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, to a great day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, on a day when people will be standing up for Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning not sitting. On the day of judgment, everybody is standing. That's what he's saying. So, don't they know, those who, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. So it talks about الْمُطَفِّفُونَ, the one when they weigh, they play with weights. But this is in general to everybody who sins. He says, don't you know that you will be resurrected for a tremendous day where everybody will be standing to meet Allah Azza wa Jal? And Ibn Abbas here says, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, commenting on the ayah, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, he says, الْوَصُولَاتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, he says, on that day, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and connections between them, or bonds between them, will be cut. So Ibn Abbas said, anything that was a connection in the dunya will be cut on the day of judgment. So of course, when you're in trouble in the dunya, who do you go to? You think about it, right? Who do you go to? You think, if you're young enough, or even old enough, my parents. Oh, they'll bail me out, right? They'll take care of me. Or my brother, or my children, or my neighbor, or I know a mechanic, or a doctor, or this or this. There's always someone, connection, right? I know him, I have his phone number, I can connect to him, and they'll be able to give me advice. So what do you do on the day of judgment when there is no wasulat, taqatta'at bihimul asbab, there are no connections, phones don't work anymore, no one is going to take your call, not that they're actual phones, but I mean, no one is going to take your call, no one is going to welcome your advances of help me, I have enough to worry about. So when you find yourself truly alone, and no one can help, and no one can advise, and no one, then don't you think before you do the bad things that you want to do, that that's going to be terrible on that day when you're going to be carrying all this on your own? Doesn't this worry you? Does it terrify you? Does it keep you up at night thinking about, what will I say? What will I say? How will I erase this? What answer do I have? None of them. So you have to worry about the day of judgment. Worry about, like, it's going to happen. This is far more serious than any day when you have taken an exam on, or you had an interview for a job, or a job review, right? You know, like, will you be shaking? Will they give me the job, or will they fire me? Will I get a raise? What? You'll be tense, but this is far more serious. So it doesn't worry us. Okay, we'll feel very secure about it, but we worry about the dunya. Anything about the dunya, but not this. So there are no connections on the day of judgment. And the hadith, maybe a couple of hadiths, because they are the same. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, commenting on يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, on the day when they will stand up to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, قَالَ يَقُومُ أَحَدُهُمْ فِي رَشْحِهِ, إِلَىٰ أَنصَافِ أُذُنَيْهِ. He says, one of them will stand in his sweat to his ears. Right? In another hadith he says, يَعْرَقُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. People will sweat on the day of judgment. حَتَّى يَذْهَبَ عَرُقُهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ سَبْعِينَ ذِرَاعًا. Until their sweat will reach, will go deep into the ground, 70 cubits. This is the cubit, from your elbow to your fingers. That's a cubit, so 70 of that. Down in the earth, your sweat, my sweat, our sweat. وَيُلْجِمُهُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَذَانَهُمْ. And it will reach their mouth and their ears. So, it's going to be uncomfortable, right? It's going to be hot. So, yeah. So the sun will come very close, right, to people on the Day of Judgment. It's not going to fry anybody. It's not going to melt anybody. The body will be able to take it. But imagine, about a mile. I want to know what that means, what a meal. Is it our mile, or is it just like a meal al-mikhala? You know, the one that you use for kuhul. Which one? We don't know. But so close, even if it's just a mile. So close that people will be sweating. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, people will sweat in different proportions. Some to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their waist, some to their chest, and some all the way to their mouths and ears, maybe almost drowning in their sweat. So, and they sweat that way in proportion to their sins. طيب, where are the righteous? Like the really righteous? Under the shade. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. It's a seven that people will shade on a day when there is no shade except the shade that Allah provides. It's not the shade of Allah, it's the shade of His throne. Right? Because another narration explains it. This shade of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's the only shade. Nothing else, right? If all it's in the open. So obviously, where do you want to be then? That's the question. Like, where do you want to be? Right? In the shade. You want to be shaded. And the Prophet ﷺ tells you about those seven. So you're going to go back to it and you can read. Who are those sevens who will receive that privilege on that day so they don't have to sweat this much? Right? The VIP. Okay? Those who are lucky. And again, think, you know, of custom. We've used that example before, right? Going through custom. And if you have a VIP card, rather than having to stay with the miserable one with all your baggage and all the questions, you have a VIP card, you just show it and you say, come in, sir, so and so. You say, I wish somehow I could get this. That's the VIP treatment for those who were sincere and devoted in this life. That's what they would get. And people would be able to see it. Everybody else now, they're sweating. And so sweating to your ankles, to your knees, to this and that. All the way to, subhanAllah, you're almost drowning in it. And for how long will this be? Allahu A'lam. There's even a weak hadith, but make note that it is weak. That said, the disbeliever will say, Ya Allah, relieve me of this, even to hellfire. It's a weak hadith, but it does actually reflect this human tendency. That I'm so fed up with this, I don't care, just take me away from this, even to hellfire. Now knowing that hellfire is much worse than this position. But imagine a person so crowded, so hot, so long, and you're swimming in your sweat, and you don't know when the relief is going to come. It's like, why is this happening? Again, this is not to question, but this is to see if we can derive some lessons and some wisdom. Well, that's the consequence of what we were doing in this life, right? That's the amount of sin that we are drowning in. But you don't see it. But on the Day of Judgment, Allah will show it to you. This is the amount of sin you were drowning in. It was up to your waist. And you were feeling heavy. And you were feeling trapped. But you continued with it. Didn't you feel in this dunya that there is something wrong? Like the akhirah. You would feel that there's having so much sweat is not right. That's not comfortable. Couldn't you see it in the dunya that the more sins that you commit, the more that you don't feel right? the more that you feel alienated from this life, agitated, depressed, angry, anxious. Don't you feel this? Don't you feel that you have strayed so far from the Book of Allah, from loving Iman, from loving Yaqeen, from loving all of this, and loving what Allah hates? Don't you feel that you are actually drowning in your own sweat now? Right? And if, subhanAllah, if you think about it, if Allah were to give us natural consequences to our sins, we would not sin. Right? Imagine, you know, yourself and myself. Imagine if we were to commit a sin, and once you wake up that day, and you step on the floor, you find yourself walking in sweat the whole day, outside, the whole walking in sweat, every time you sit for your job, you're sitting in sweat. What would you do? That's miserable. That's I can't live like this. Better I stop. And imagine if people, you start seeing people who are swimming in their sweat. You say, what is wrong with you? Why don't you stop? Don't you know what you're doing to yourself? That's exactly the thing that we're doing to ourselves in the Akhirah. But here, we don't see it physically, but you can feel it. You could feel it that there is something wrong. You're not right. And you know when you're right. You know when you're close to Allah, you're right. And when you're rebelling, you're not right. So subhanAllah, one of the benefits that you get from this is that if you believe it, you begin to almost feel it here. And you say to yourself, if I can help it, I don't want to be disgraced on that day. I don't want people to see me like that. You know, like when you fall in trouble today and you say, hide it. Don't let my parents know about this. Don't let so-and-so know about this. Just hide it. I'll take care of it. But it becoming public is another punishment if you go through any trouble. Would you want to be disgraced on the Day of Judgment where everybody can see what's happening to you and read the sins that you've done? So if we treat it as a reality that it's going to happen, it will change us. If it terrifies us, it will change us. If we read this as stories, as entertainment, then we'll know, but that knowledge is not going to help us a lot. So ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, to protect us from that pain on that day and make the Day of Judgment easy on all of us and make us of those who strive in this dunya to make the Day of Judgment easy for them and for their loved ones. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. We'll give you, inshaAllah, a couple of minutes, inshaAllah, to ask questions if you have any. Or comments, or what have you, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, tafaddal. Yeah. Na'am. So his question is about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, are they human? And we said yes, that they are human, because we'd have no evidence to say that they are otherwise, or that there is a different type of creation. So we have no evidence of that. What type of humans are they? Allahu A'lam. We don't know. It depends on where they are and how far back they were. We have no knowledge of that. And also, the question was about, will they take this entire earth, right? So they will come at the time of Isa alayhi salam, after Isa alayhi salam, conquers Ad-Dajjal, right? And everybody, accepts Islam. And then they will come out from wherever they are, and they will spread and they will overtake whatever has remained or is populated of this earth. Because again, we don't know at that time which continents will be populated, which continents not. Where do people live? Where did they gather? So Allahu A'lam, because a lot of things will happen, okay? There will be famines, there will be earthquakes, a lot of people will die, so don't know exactly when and where and how. All what we know is that, yes, they'll have that dominion, right? Well, no one can fight them, and Isa alayhi salam and the believers with him will flee to the mountaintops, and they hide, right? So that's where the believers will be. Allahu A'lam. Na, tafaddal. Alaykum as-salam. Would it exist before Prophet Nuh? We have no details about when they lived, right? Now we assume, right, that some sort of message must have reached them, right? Otherwise they would not be accountable. So we assume some sort of message must have reached them, but which message and which prophet, all يعني, unknown to us. Because we don't know when Dhul Qarnayn existed, before Musa, after Musa, long before, Allahu A'lam. So the important thing, I know that these things are very intriguing, right? Because it's all mysterious, but what's important is to know that, I mean, one of the things that are important is to know that how a group of people could be so destructive, and that we have that within us. If Ya'juj and Ma'juj are humans, and they are humans, they have that ability to destroy everything, and the arrogance to assume that they can conquer everything, because they say, after they conquer this earth, or again, what is populated of this earth, they say, you know, we've conquered the people of earth, we have to conquer the heavenly inhabitants. So they said they will take their arrows, right? And again, arrows meaning literal arrows, possibly arrows meaning something else that they'll be using. Allahu A'lam, we don't know. And they will shoot them at the sky, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will make it so that the arrows come back with blood on them, so that they would believe that they did what? Killed the angels. So what do you take from that? You know, okay, this is the bad things that they will do, but the arrogance that humans have, where they think that they could control everything, and they know everything. So if you leave it to us today, some of us are behaving like Ya'juj and Ma'juj. If we have the power, we would do what they did. Allahu Akbar. Tafadhali. At this moment, I don't recall how long they will stay. The only thing is that that Isa alayhi salam, right, will send some people to ask for volunteers to come down from the mountaintops to see what had happened, because they're just disconnected, they're just hiding, and they don't know what's happening on earth. And then when that person or group of people, I forgot, they come down to see what's happening with the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they would find that all of them are dead. And Allah Azza wa Jal would cause worms that come out from the earth while they're sleeping to go and kill them. So all of them will die. So no human intervention in killing them. Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of them. But it's one of the kind of signs of the Day of Judgment that things are going about to expire. So how long? I don't recall that there is a period. Allahu A'lam. Yeah, hold on. Na'am, sahih. Sahih, sahih. Sahih. Na'am, na'am. I mean, somehow he was able to trap them. We don't really know how, right? But it trapped them behind a structure. So two mountains, and he built that dam so that he could trap them behind it. And they describe them as mufsiduna fil ard, they're corruptors on this earth. So that they've done enough evil. And Dhul Qarnayn is guided by Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So, and Allah approves of this. They've done so much evil that there is nothing else that would work with them except trapping them. Except trapping them. Exactly. So it's that relieving people of their corruption and of their evil, of their harm. Exactly, exactly. They are the carriers of evil, and Isa alayhi salam is unlike that, right? He brings the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla with him. Now, let me see this side. So no one has question here, and no one here. Atfadhali. No. So, I mean, yani, the Prophet ﷺ says that there is going to come a time when the person holding on to his religion will be like a person holding on to a burning piece of coal. كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجُمْرِ. So it tells you how difficult is it, right, to hold on to a burning piece of coal and keep holding while it burns you. It means that you need to struggle with it. And it's not always going to be easy, but you have to be holding on to it. And when can you do this? Hold on to something that is uncomfortable and keep holding on to it. if you have willpower, and if you believe that you need to keep holding on to it, so you have enough determination, that comes from asking Allah for it, right? Like if you're doing something difficult and you don't think or suspect you'll not be able to continue, what do? Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, assist me. Ya Allah, make this easy for me. Ya Allah, allow me to see the truth as truth and to love it and follow it, and evil as evil and to love it and to hate it and to avoid it. So making dua and then nourishing your iman. Okay, because you can't just let go of it and expect that, well, naturally I'm just going to have iman. No, your iman changes in a day. From 1 hour to the other, right? You come to the masjid, you hear something beautiful, what, your iman goes up. You leave the masjid, you get into your car, you go home, what happens to your iman? It dips. Right? That's natural, right? Then what do? Surrender to it? Say, this is it? Live a double life? What are you supposed to do? Now, what can you do at home? I say, Quran. You sit and you read your Quran and you make it a habit. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I read my Quran. Because that sets the course for my entire day. Like if you read this Quran, Allah gives you barakah and it gives you insight. So you're more likely to stay away from the haram. More likely to be a good person when he hears the call of Allah, they will respond. So reading the Quran, being Islamically educated, attending the halaqas, listening when there are lessons, lectures online, the adhkar of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's fundamental. Right? So that you don't forget about Allah. So before you sleep, biz adhkar, right? Before you get into the bathroom, when you leave, after your wudu, in the morning, when you wake up, or you pray your fajr, there's adhkar. You pray your asr, there's adhkar between asr and maghrib. You need to keep saying this because you need that connection. If you don't have that connection, you're going to stray. And then also, good friends who will remind you, and away from bad friends who will corrupt you. Right? And staying closer to good influences and far away from evil influences. And you keep doing it day by day, until Allah Azza wa Jal takes our souls from this earth. That's how we can do. And what we can do, so ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it easy, but recognize that it is difficult today. And recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for that difficulty. And He didn't just say, it's difficult and that's it. Okay, you're on your own. No, He says, difficult, but ask me, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُ. Right? So make you steadfast. And as you read the Quran, you'll hear stories of people who were challenged and confronted and threatened, but they stayed the course and they believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and they were the one that survived and won. So we take inspiration from that, inshallah, Rabbil Alamin. I saw one more hand here. Atfadhal. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Na'am. Ala zahirihi. That, he says, he's asking, what is the meaning of the Prophet saying in the hadith that the Day of Judgment is not going to happen until the Arabian Peninsula goes back to what it was, murujan wa anhara, flowing rivers and gardens and green. Okay? The Day of Judgment will not happen until the Arabian Peninsula will become green again. Huh? They're working on it, right? But that there'll be enough climate change, right? That this is going to happen. So definitely, right? So you wait for it. وتعود مروجا وأنهارا على ظاهره, exactly as the Prophet ﷺ has said. That it was once before like that and will be again like that. Wallahu a'lam. Okay. Okay, so they're creating clouds, right? Creating crowds and creating rain and yeah. Sahih. Sahih. I mean, if you believe, you know, and you just wait, you can start seeing these things materialize. Allahu a'lam. طيب جزاكم الله خير. طيب إن شاء الله جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين.